know, I've entitled this message, Waking Up on the Wrong Side of Christmas. If you're still on the wrong side of Christ after hearing that, you need to listen a little harder. You know, there's a new commercial on radio and television that's caught my attention. It chronicles the life of the most interesting man in the world. The announcer tells us that the man once had an awkward moment just to see what it felt like. That he lives vicariously through himself. That he has won the same Lifetime Achievement Award twice. That he is against cruelty to animals, but he's not afraid to give a stern warning. That he is always on the right side of the tracks, and even if he were to cross over the tracks, he would still be on the right side of the tracks. He is the most interesting man in the world. Well, it's a funny commercial. It's totally ridiculous. But it reminds us that our own lives fall short of being the most interesting lives in the world. It makes us feel like we might have a need to be a little bit more humble. And that awareness of humility is a good thing. Because life is not all about us. All of us have had awkward moments. All of us have tried to get a loan and could not use ourselves as collateral. All of us have various kinds of things going on in our life that just simply fall short of gaining the interest of the entire world. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus, who truly is the most interesting person who ever or will ever live in this or any other world. We, however, fail, and we can wake up on the wrong side of the tracks, on the wrong side of people, and on the wrong side of Christmas. Let's pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we pray that you will be with us in a special way. You have promised whether two or three gather together in your name, here you are. In the very midst of us. What a promise that is. What a wonderful sensation to know that we are here in your presence. That if we were in a crowd of people, we would be in your presence. If we were out alone, just with a friend or a family member, you would be there as you've promised. We praise you for that. We thank you. And Father, today as we come before you, it's not any less serious in our lives to seek you than it would be if we did it in a grand cathedral or in a little mud hut. That we, in fact, have a special moment here with you. And we ask you to speak with us. Cast out my words. For my words and the words of the greatest men who stand in the greatest pulpits in the world are nothing. Your word is everything. Your words are words of life and death, and we need them, Father. Your words are words of healing, and we can't live without them. Your words are words of promise, and we'd never get out of our depression without them. So we need to hear from you, Father. Speak to every heart. Touch each and every one of us, for we have gathered in your Son's name to praise you, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you open with me your Bibles to Psalms, the 72nd Psalm, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 8. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. He will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. The mountain will bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the grass before morning, like showers that water the earth. In his days the righteous shall flourish, and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. He shall have dominion also from the sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. These words were written in anticipation of a king. You know, the birth of Jesus has transformed the world, and yet many of us live like it never happened at all. We have just celebrated the birth of our Savior, our Lord. We have sung Christmas songs. We have given or received gifts. We have decorated our church and our homes. We have seen the marketplace wrap itself in tinsel, trying to disguise its true nature of greed and materialism. We have either experienced the warmth of family and friends, or we have mourned the lack of them. In short, for some of us, Christmas is past, and it's a relief. I had a deacon who said, "Whew, glad it's over." Some of us feel that way today. And some of us feel as though, no, I want Christmas to go on and on and on. And we look into other cultures and we realize that many people celebrate the 12 days of Christmas. And we look toward that and we want to extend the feeling that we've just had and the experiences we've just had. Some people just realize that the world has not changed completely. Jesus has not entered into the heart of every human being. Evil is still in the world. Dangers are still here. And perhaps we might even admit that Jesus hasn't changed us as much as he ought to, as much as we ought to let him. Perhaps we realize that we still have woken up on the wrong side of Christmas. Some people wake up on the wrong side of Christmas because they wake up with anticipation. You know, the Old Testament is filled with anticipation. The Ten Commandments give us a list of things that we should do to be right with God and right with one another. And then the prophets and Amos and Hosea and Micah and others all tell us how to seek peace and justice. But all of them live looking forward to the time when one would come to make those things real, not just in stone tablets, but on our fleshly hearts. They look with anticipation for what has to come. And the 72nd Psalm is an example of that spirit of anticipation. It was written in the connection with the coronation of a king. It praises the new king and prays for a reign of righteousness and peace. It hopes for all the things that human beings always hope for prosperity and peace and gentle lives. The Jewish people lived in anticipation of the king that he would one day come and fulfill all of their prayers, all of their desires. Many today are still looking for the coming of the Messiah, for they have not received him. They're still looking to the future because they do not see, hear, or experience Christ's presence with us today. So, they are on the wrong side of Christmas. They're still waiting. There are others who are on the wrong side of Christmas because they're looking backward. They look back to a Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection, back to a historical time. And you might witness that same kind of historical image, I think, in one that is new to me in some ways and yet very old. I look at the globe that you sometimes see of a Christmas scene. You know, it's got plastic dome all over it, and you turn it over and snow comes down. You've probably all seen those. It's a perfect little world, but it's encapsulated. It's as though we've encapsulated Jesus in this world that we know about past time and the historical frame. And it's as though only when we turn that thing up and down with our own hand that the power of the story comes alive. That's on the wrong side of Christmas, because Jesus is here now, and his power is not gleaned from ours. but the other way around. Some still believe that Jesus is a distant person. He just did some marvelous things, and he taught some marvelous words, and it seems as though Christmas is just something that someone else did. Nostalgia is a big part of Christmas, isn't it? I mean, all of us probably look back to Christmases that we've had. So Christmas can be the joyous time of the year. And we remember that, and we want to bring that forward and have it today with us in our lives. And that's why we mourn when our family's not with us and our traditions get broken and all those kinds of things fracture our sense of what Christmas is. But there's also the feeling that, you know, even if I could bring it forward, I don't know if I would. You know, I've had some of my saddest times at Christmas. Perhaps you have too. On the one hand, we know that Christ is born, and on the other hand, our life seems to be falling apart. Both of my parents died at Christmas time. And for years after that, I was alone at Christmas. It was the loneliest time of the year for me. And I guess now I understand why more people die in nursing homes at this time of year than any other time. It's loneliness that kills them. And so pulling that feeling that you've had year after year of being separated from the love of Christ, of being separated from your loved ones, of being fractured, that is not a good thing. But people still look backward, don't they? Christmas is still something they once enjoyed, but they don't enjoy it now, in the moment, in the present, because of these events that took place in the past. We understand that Christmas is right now. It's every day. It's every day of the year. It's every moment of the day. That the spirit of Christmas lives on, and that it transcends our own experiences. It transcends our own brokenness, our own loneliness. Because when we receive Christ, we're never alone again. It is Christmas morning all the time. The gifts keep showering down. My little grandson came back after Christmas, and he was looking. He said, "When do we open presents?" He had already opened presents in Oklahoma. He had opened presents in Texas. But he got kind of used to opening presents. You know, when you realize that Christmas is in the present, you're always opening the gift of Jesus every day. That's what Christmas is about. It's a stepping stone to enable us to realize a deeper meaning of Christmas. But we can sometimes live with the wrong focus, can't we? We can focus on the things we don't have. We can focus on the things we should have. We can focus on things that we can't control. We draw on past events and feelings and choices, hopefully to make wise decisions today. Some people have the same old kinds of things. I listened to a radio show the other day, and people were talking about their Christmas traditions, and most of them had to do with getting drunk. And most of them talked about how they, in their tradition, they would always open this kind of bottle and drink it all, or they would do this, or they would do that, and that Christmas Day was a kind of a sobering day for many people. They had had that kind of a feeling over and over again, and they'd never grown wiser doing it. Sometimes we need to understand that Christmas, each one that passes, should bring us into a greater illumination of who Christ is. It should make us wiser in the things that we do. The coming again of Christ. You know, some people look for that. You know, as though Christ's work was totally incomplete until he comes back. He is the kind of distant Christ who someday will come and make things right by and by. Jesus has already made it right. Today is the day of salvation. There is no need to wait any longer. He's knocking at the door of your heart today. He knocks at the door of your heart every day. There is an immediacy and an intimacy with Jesus. Jesus wants to be with us now and forevermore. You know, that changes our attitudes, doesn't it? If we know that he is coming, he has come, he's coming again. But his work is not incomplete. He can make his work complete in you and me today if we'll just open our hearts to him. And so our attitudes sometimes put us on the wrong side of Christmas. The birth of Jesus kind of brings us back to a fact that today and every other day, it is the most meaningful thing in the world. Jesus' birth means that God loves us. It means that God cared so much He sent His only begotten Son to die for us so that we'd be reunited with Him. It means that every day is a day when we ought to serve and praise Christ. It's not just a historical event. It is an immediacy, an intimacy that we have every day. We need to have a clear understanding that Jesus is here, that He has come, that His promises never to leave us, and that's the goodness of God's message. We look forward to the day when we will live the life He taught us to live. You know, but today is the day. You know, we have total salvation today. We have life eternal today. For years, I studied prophecy. I thought prophecy was the greatest gift that I had ever received. I loved to read all the papers, the Jerusalem Post, and see prophecy coming to pass every day. It was extraordinary for me. I just loved it. I spoke on it, and churches would sometimes ask me to speak to their college kids about it and other things about it. And I would speak about it, and I loved it. I just gobbled it all up. And one day, I came to the realization, because God just kind of caught me up short and made me think about how many people had come to Him because of my knowledge of prophecy. And the answer was, not one. It was a distraction. It was not giving the message of love, but the message of knowledge. And it is the message of love that transforms us and gives us new birth. We don't need to look behind and see what happened long ago. We can experience His birth again in our lives. It's the abundant life, by simply asking for it. Getting on the right side of Christmas means learning how to respond to the King. And in that same psalm, in Psalm 72, verses 9 through 11, this is what it says. Those who dwelt in the wilderness will bow before Him, and His enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the Isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba, Sherba, will offer gifts. Yes, all kings will fall down before Him, and all nations will serve Him. It is a prophecy. It happened. The three kings came, and the three kings are still coming because wise men still seek Him. These three kings came from afar to bow down and give their very best to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They brought gold, they brought frankincense, and they brought myrrh. Gold for a king to announce to the world that we're giving him the most precious thing we have, gold. I told the kids this morning, my wife kind of drafted me in to talk about the three kings, and I didn't have the heart to walk away, so I had to answer their hard questions, and kids have hard questions. Where did they come from? What did they do? I said, what did the kings bring? They said, water. I said, yes. They had to have water to get across those deserts, didn't they? But they brought gold. Gold is a symbol that you give to the king, the most precious metal. They brought frankincense. Frankincense is what they burned in the altars in the temples to appease, to give pleasure to the deities. And they brought myrrh. Myrrh, which is used for embalming the human flesh. They came to acknowledge that He was King, that He was God, and that He was human. They gave the best they had, and we're to give the best we have as well. You know, when we were living in Hollywood, Sandra took some small empty boxes and decorated the little tree that we had. And we still got that star, that tinsel star, hanging on every tree we've had since then. And I always insist that we put those little packages on the tree. Now, we have some wonderful ornaments, and people have given us ornaments, and we purchased ornaments, and the kids' significance on the ornaments, they have their little, the day of the Christmas or their birthday or something on little ornaments on the tree. There are lots of symbols on the tree, but I love those little packages. It just wouldn't be Christmas for me without those little tinfoil wrap packages with ribbons around them. And I've noticed over the years how my kids would look at those packages. And I've noticed this year how our 2-year-old little grandson likes to take them off the tree and handle them. He likes to look at those packages. Now, the thing is that those packages are all empty. She did not take Jell-O and wrap it. She took an empty Jell-O box and wrapped it. And there's a message there too. What we give to Christ is not an empty package. You know, too many people say are giving themselves to Christ. And what they're giving is something that's all wrapped up themselves in tinsel and in all kinds of fancy ribbons. But there's nothing alive inside. They're giving away an empty thing. What Christ wants to do is give us a gift and have us give it back to Him. And what I mean by that is simply this, that when Christ gives His Son to us, He comes into our hearts, and then we give Him away to the others that we meet every day. That's the gift-giving that God has ordained for Christmas time and for every other day of the year. Too often we accept the beautiful package and ignore what's inside. To be on the right side of Christmas, authentic Christians realize that life, true life, starts on the inside and works its way out. But the new life He has given us, we should give back to Him every day. You know, the presents that Christ gives are not presents to be exchanged at the local store. They're not something that comes with a little gift kind of card. It's something that you don't shop for yourself. It is a gift He gives to you personally. And He has chosen this gift for each and every one of you individually. Jesus has come knowing you before you were ever born. He knew you in your mother's womb. He knows you. And He has fashioned His gift for His glory to be placed in your heart so that you may show the world who He is. Wrong side of Christmas is easy to be on. It's easy to have an attitude that keeps us from understanding that it's not all about us. It's His birthday. It's the birthday of the King. It's easy for us to get distracted and think about all these things that are happening in the world and forget what happened in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. The most important event in human history. God came as Emmanuel, God with us, to live with us. Up until that time, everybody had gone to worship in tents, in tabernacles. That's what tents are. And those tents were made out of skins and sticks. And Jesus came to dwell in a tabernacle made of flesh and bone. He now dwells within us. That is what Christmas is all about. Celebrating His birth in us. For that's what changes us from the inside out. And now I look in the mirror. I've decided probably I'm going to outlaw mirrors. When my wife first met me, it wasn't a mirror I didn't love. She'll tell you that. Amen? Amen. If I walked into a store and there were mirrors there, I just couldn't get enough of myself. I just had to look at myself. It's different now. Now I have a real aversion to mirrors. Some people came this morning, they said that they saw me in this magazine, and the photograph was really good. I haven't seen it, but I'm leery of the photograph. Because photographs tell you the truth about what's on the outside, and I'm not necessarily happy with that. But when God looks at me, He looks at the inside of the package. And what my job is to try to let Him look inside of me and see His own Son. And it's your job too. Be on the right side of Christmas and make Him the most important, interesting person in the world. Let's go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before You this day, may You be glorified in everything we do and say. May You be the one who is praised this day. And may we do it in tangible acts of kindness and love. May we understand in a deeper way how we are to play our part, how we are to do what You have called us to do. Father, may every gift we have, every talent that we possess, every skill, every bit of wisdom, every bit of knowledge, every bit of physical strength, may everything we have, every breath we take, bring glory to You. And may people not see us, but as John the Baptist, may we decrease as Jesus increases in us, so that we can see the true light of your love in this world. Father, there may be some in the room today, even now, that need to make a decision for Jesus. They either need to join the church, or perhaps they need to make a commitment before you. Perhaps they just have a sorrow in their heart, and they want to be prayed with this morning. Whatever it is, Father, we know that your gift is constant, and that gift opens his arms wide and says, whosoever will may come. That's the gift of Jesus Christ's love to all of us. May we embrace it today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.